I'd like to start by saying good morning. And I have to say, when I saw the date that was going to be my first Sunday, because if you haven't been here for Wednesday yet, it's been a party. But my first Sunday, I saw, you know, it's the last Sunday of the year. That's probably safe. You know, let the vicar take the end of the year just in case. Don't want to scare anybody away. And if I do, there's less. I expected much less people. So kudos to you guys for showing up on the last Sunday of the year. Let's start out real quick with a prayer. Most merciful God, we thank you and we praise you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of renewed eternal life brought to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, be with us in this season of renewal and reflection as we move into the new year. Bless the ministry of our daily lives and continue to strengthen our faith. In your Son's name, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's gospel lesson seems perfect for wrapping up the year. New Year's is a time of looking forward, turning the page. It's a time of renewal, reflection. Jesus has already been born. The angels have proclaimed the news. The shepherds spread the news. And now we move to the next page, the next story. And sometimes we fall into the trap of putting all of our trust in next time. It's so easy to look for peace in the things that are in front of us, like New Year's resolutions, new fitness goals. I need a few. But today, we're going to talk about finding peace in the one thing that we tend to avoid at all costs, waiting. It's a fun topic. In today's sermon text, we are introduced to a man with a rather unique promise from God, a man named Simeon. Scripture describes Simeon as a righteous and devout man who is waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And now specifically with Simeon, the Holy Spirit himself has revealed that he will not see death until he sees the face of that Messiah face to face. And what do we see here in the reading? Just as Mary and Joseph walk in with the infant Christ, Simeon rushes to them. He instantly recognizes who has just come through the temple doors. Now, I have to say, as a proud father of three, it has been an honor and a privilege to bring our newborn children into the church. Faces light up. A spirit of joy enters the air. Carolyn is showered with congratulations and hugs and good jobs, which she deserves all of it. However, I don't exactly know how I would react, and I have a few ideas. But I don't know if we were to walk in the doors of the sanctuary, and an old man who I've probably never met runs up and immediately takes the baby from my arms. I'm not exactly sure what that would look like for me. That one didn't happen, thankfully. But we see in this instance, that's what happens with Mary and Joseph. Simeon takes the infant Jesus into his arms, and he sings something special that we now know as the Nunc Dimittis. He sings, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Now that is a blessing. Simeon has waited who knows how many years for God to fulfill this promise to him. And here it is. Finally, the redemption of Israel, the one whom creation itself was made, living and breathing in his own two hands. But don't miss the big hint that Simeon just gave us in that song. He said, "My eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon doesn't just see the Messiah for Israel, he sees the redemption for all of creation. And that was not the expectation for the Messiah at that time, or today for the Jews. They expect the Messiah to be a political leader, someone who's going to rise up, liberate them once and for all from oppression, establish peace and prosperity within their nation. But God reveals to us here through Simeon that he has even bigger plans than that. Now, in the spirit of New Year's reflection, with all the planning, the goal setting, before we get to all that, I would implore you to sit back for a moment and consider what waiting actually feels like. Kind of sounds silly as a request, but honestly, as we've seen and the studies have confirmed, that as technology continues to improve, our attention spans get shorter and shorter. I feel like our long-term memory is affected as well. There's lots of things I can remember from my childhood, my very first address, the phone number I had for a year when I was five. No idea why. It'll always be ingrained in my brain. But I struggle to remember everything that Carolyn told me to get at the store 5 minutes away. So it is what it is. We have access to technology instantaneously. I think it started with microwaves, you know. You can even argue with cars, but, you know, microwaves made us impatient in the kitchen. And now we complain when the words that we just typed into our phone take more than 5 seconds to go to space and back and retrieve the picture of a cat we were looking for. We are less willing now more than ever, I believe, to wait for anything. And despite our best efforts to avoid it, our daily experiences are often defined by waiting. And our best efforts are often thwarted by our failure or lack of willingness to do so. In the busyness and worries of life, the weakness of our flesh and our sin, we tend to look past Christ. We look past the Word. We look past the sacraments where God comes to us visibly. And we tell ourselves that, you know, maybe next year we'll find that peace that we're looking for. Because of sin, waiting is not one of our strong suits, not our forte. Sometimes it's an outright struggle, honestly. Our eyes start to dart left and right, looking for some sort of comfort that we can pretend to control, ultimately gazing upon everything but God's Word. And in the midst of our pain, we find ourselves looking to any number of things that we've learned to lean on, knowing that, well, we'll find at least a little satisfaction. Go ask the AA groups that meet here every week. They'll tell you exactly where that takes you. Addiction comes in many forms. And unfortunately, it's not always easy to spot from the outside. The enemy sits right next to you, lying to you, telling you that just one more time, just one more step, you'll finally get that peace and satisfaction that you've been seeking. We reach on and on, latching from one idol to the next, believing that they'll give us what we desperately need. It is so easy to reach for the next thing on our search for peace and fulfillment. Yet here we see in our text Simeon, a model of faith. He's the picture of perseverance, of endurance, of waiting in faith. Because his waiting was always with his eyes fixed on seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. He knew it would happen. See, there in the temple, as the baby was brought by Joseph and Mary, he took little Jesus up in his arms and blesses God on the spot. The gift of nations, the salvation, has finally come. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his hands. There he was. the consolation of Israel. He had waited so long to see salvation, life, forgiveness, all right there in his blessed embrace. Simeon waited in faith, and there Jesus was. His promise, his will had come into the world. And Simeon is just looking at Jesus, and he gives us this song. You are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people. He immediately knew. He always knew. And that is what it means to wait in faith. How Simeon waited is how we wait. Not waiting by human strength, but waiting by the power of the Holy Spirit that is within us. Waiting in the Word of God that has promised that you are His own, that you are a child of God, that our Lord has indeed come. The same Word that tells us that on the night of betrayal, Jesus says, "Rise, let us go. The hour is at hand." As if he's saying, it's time to fulfill the will of God. And the will of God is Calvary, the cross. And there, Jesus obediently shed his blood for you, a perfect sacrifice sent to the slaughter as your Redeemer. Jesus waits perfectly. He waited for that exact opportune time to die and rise for the sins of the world, including for you. He is the master of waiting, waiting in faithfulness, perfect and sinless. And there, as our Lord waited, even forsaken as he was with the world turned against him, he didn't panic. He waited in faith. He knew. He waited to die that very death that no one else could die for you. The crucifixion, with the world hanging in the balance on him and him alone. Now, of course, 3 days later, the empty tomb would prove that everything he said, he finished. And so now as we wait, there we wait in the faith of Christ. Because you're not waiting in vain. There's no idol, no person, no new thing, no goal that you set for next year that can compare to the one true God. If Christ was not raised from the dead, as the scripture tells us, your faith would be futile and you would be dead in your sin. Yet the fact is, Christ has been raised from the dead. And therefore, your faith is not dead. Your faith is alive. Christ is alive. Your sins are forgiven. And there you wait in the faith of the Word of God. So as you walk out the door today, whether it's to join us for Family Fun Day at Six Flags, or you're going to go home and spend some more time, or I say recovery time, from the hustle of the holiday season, and maybe you've still got some parties to go to and some presents to open. You will depart in his peace according to his word, because that word for Simeon and for you is Christ. I know it's easy to fall into the idea of finding peace and turning the page. But, Lord, let your servant go in peace. Because you have peace. All the things that are happening in the world today, all the things that are happening internally, in your heart, in your mind, all the sufferings, all the spiritual battles that you're confronting right now in your own conscience, remember those words. It's not just a feeling or an idea, but it's a concrete reality that as you persevere with the saints, as you wait for the final coming of the Lord, you will go in peace. Not because we get another chance next year, not because it's the year of hitting your goals, but because your peace is Christ. And now may the peace of Christ that surpasses all things guard your hearts and minds. In his name, amen.